to Tea Time. This is a weekly pop culture podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Halliwell.
I'm Kaya McMullen, filling in for Amelia Wedemeyer.
Today, we're checking in with the chaotic love of Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly, Kim Kardashian's SNL hosting gig, and our Halloween theme continues with Cringe Mode, Hocus Pocus.
Yeah!
Amelia, we miss you, but we got a fun show. I'm sad she's not here for a couple of these topics, but I feel like we'll do her justice.
Yes.
All right, before getting into the show, let's take a quick break.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem. Sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This episode is brought to you by Max. The new HBO original limited series, The Sympathizer, is an espionage thriller and cross-culture satire that follows a communist spy during the final days of the Vietnam War and his new life as a refugee in Los Angeles. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr. and based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, The Sympathizer is streaming now exclusively on Max. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
All right, Tea Time is checking in with celebrity profiles, which we've done a bunch, but this week in particular, I thought all three of these that we'll be talking about were really interesting and strong, and like I gobbled up every single word. We're starting with the best, in my opinion, Kate.
All right. So Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly are in the news all the time these days, you know, with their love, performative or otherwise. And they were profiled for GQ this week by Molly Lambert. And I have to tell you, I have gone through three stages of feelings about this relationship and this profile throughout the week. So the first stage, I hadn't read it yet and I had seen the memes. And if you've seen, you probably have also seen them. Yeah. People were taking quotes out of context. There are a lot of crazy quotes because they're a crazy couple. But the one that was everywhere was them talking about how when they first met each other, Megan Fox said, "You smell like weed." And Machine Gun Kelly replied, "I am weed." And then he disappeared into a puff of smoke, according to Megan Fox. So, of course, the internet was like, this is insane. Took it, made it into memes. So I texted Amelia Wedemeyer on her birthday on Wednesday, and she said, you know, thanks, whatever. I'm having fun in Miami. And then she spent the next hour sending me I am weed memes.
The important thing.
And yes, so that was her priority on her birthday. We love it. She's committed. That was the first stage of the Megan Fox Machine Gun Kelly week. The second stage was when I read the profile. And listen, it's a great profile. Lots of like little gems, lots of weird stuff. They talk about how there are a lot of things that the people have not read that were missed by people just like tweeting about it. I actually highly recommend you read it. They talk about how like they couldn't. It is such a journey. They talk about how like they couldn't see each other's face when they first met. And Megan Fox, again, not to take just the crazy quotes out of context, but there are many. Megan Fox goes, "I think we weren't allowed to see each other yet. We weren't supposed to run into each other that night. So our souls, our spirit guides were luring us away from each other because you literally had no face, like that thing from Spirited Away. It's hard to see his face in general, but really he had no face that night." She goes, "Thank God, because what torture had I known you were there and I couldn't get to you? It was better that I didn't know." So it's a lot of that. Yeah. They're like tattooing each other. They're giving each other tattoos that say like the darkest fairy tale.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of that. However, there are also like weirdly sweet moments. They are very, very in love.
Oh, yeah.
And there's something that is just weirdly sweet to me about like two true weirdos finding each other. You know?
We can't skip the part where they say on their first date that they did not kiss. They just like breathed into each other's mouths. Like that's important to mention.
Yeah. Megan. Yeah. Machine Gun Kelly is like, she just put her mouth in front of mine and like wouldn't kiss me and just breathe. And then she just walked away. I was like, wow, Megan Fox has a strategy that you employed. But I was like halfway through this profile, I was like, do I still like this couple? I went in annoyed. Like I went in and I was like, I'm ready to be annoyed. I'm ready to pull out the craziest shit for tea time. However, I walked out and I was like, I think I'm in. Like, I think I might still be in there. I was like 50-50. Then the third stage of acceptance. This morning, Liz Kelly sent us their video that they did to accompany this, where they did, it was like 40 questions, basically like the Newlywed Game, where you have to answer, you know, what's my favorite movie? What's my real name? How many tattoos do I have? Guys, they're actually charming. Like, I'm back in on this relationship. I think, first of all, they are just so in love. They know everything about each other. They care so much for each other, like in a true earnest way. And I think part of it is that Megan Fox is so likable.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think if she was like a Kardashian or like an influencer or a YouTuber, we would all be totally out on this couple. Cause he's like, it's his redeeming quality is that he's obsessed with her.
Yeah.
Whereas her redeeming quality is that like she's worthy of being obsessed with, you know? Yeah. So like,
you should be obsessed with Megan Fox.
Right. Right. And she just like has this very dry humor and like is very smart and talented. And like, it comes across so much in this video, I think.
I'm very happy they did this video along with this GQ profile. Both are by GQ. I think when it's said out loud and you can see, it sells you more than I think perhaps written on a page. These quotes, which taken out of context, they're not really taken that much out of context. The I am weed thing was pretty much just a standalone statement that they made. It wasn't like a lot of background. But I do agree. I kind of walked out of the written profile and like, okay. And then, yes, I am, I suppose, back in after watching the video. They are very charming.
Like, they're annoying. Like, let's get that straight. They're like very performative. The photo shoot is super over the top. They're both like, you know, leaning into the whole like sex symbol, obsessed with each other thing, which is like, okay. But I don't know. I'm just kind of still charmed by them.
I think in the video, it feels more self-aware. Like they know they're like, are like a really out there couple and like, but this is all part of like a performance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. This great line in the profile says they walk in the footprints etched by the platform boots of partnerships such as Tommy and Pam, Kurt and Courtney, et cetera. They are like the 2021 version of those couples.
Of like punk rock couple.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And then I think what comes across in the video is like their slightly more normal side. Like she's like, what's my favorite movie? And she starts to give him clues and he's like, listen, I don't need the clues. I know it's Harry Potter. And she's like, okay, which one? And he's like, Prisoners of Azkaban. She's like, The Prisoner of Azkaban. Like, best
she
book also.
She is sweet. I love her on video when she's just being herself.
Like, she's rattling off like his entire birth chart. You know, like, it just is like, they really are extremely in love. I'm sorry.
I hope it works.
Yeah, I just think they're weirdos who found each other. And there's just, you kind of got to like that.
I almost feel that the Travis Courtney pair, which we've spent a lot more time, I feel like, on this podcast talking about, have almost soured me on, because they're in a foursome now at some point. They're the like rock star and beautiful woman, kind of like black leather, whatever. Yeah. But I think I like this couple more. They're more interesting.
They're
to
more
me.
Fun. And I want Megan to stay away from the Kardashians a little bit. Yeah. She just is like too good for
it was
that,
after the Skims photo shoot when I was like, okay, I'm getting a little bored with this.
Right. Which is why I think it really hinges on her. You know, if she gets annoying, we're all out.
Yeah.
So like, you got to stay chill, Megan. Like, stay out of that squad, please.
Yeah. Okay. Next profile, a complete change of pace, but just as good. Zendaya was on November's cover of InStyle, and she is stunning, gorgeous. The photos accompanying it are obviously like otherworldly, as she always is. The piece that people are taking from said profile is her comments about her quote unquote boyfriend, Tom Holland, and co-star. So she talks about a lot of other stuff. I shouldn't just focus on that. She's talking about what she wants to do both in front of and behind the camera. Mm-hmm. She took up painting in quarantine. Yeah, talks a lot about herself. And then, of course, she gets asked about this relationship and specifically this meme, which Kate, I believe you have talked about on this pod or we've just talked about it in person. the two of them sitting in a car where they both look super annoyed. Can you explain that any better than I just did?
The meme? I don't think I've seen it as a meme.
It's, well, InStyle described it as a meme. It's basically just a photo that the internet loves.
Okay,
it's like
okay.
The two of them kind of pissed, caught by paparazzi. You know which
Got
one I'm
it.
Talking about, right?
Okay, yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so she gets asked about that, be like, what was going on behind the scenes, et cetera. You know, she gives some non-answered, we're in New York, we have no privacy, blah, blah, blah. And then they ask, it's written by Laura Brown. She asks, tell me, what do you appreciate about him as an actor and as a chap? Okay, so this is her rumored boyfriend that uh-huh. she's about to be speaking about. There are many things, obviously, that I appreciate in an actor. Okay, yeah, that's kind of boring. Yada, yada. He's a perfectionist. Our director allowed me to come in every day of the shoot, and it was cool to see how much he cares about his work and making it right. Yada, yada. He's worried that he didn't get the scenes, quote. And I'd be like, dude, you got it. But he wants us to be perfect, and I really appreciate that. Yeah, he's a fun time. Very charismatic, can make anybody feel comfortable and have a good laugh and a good chat. A good chat. I sound so British. Does that scream boyfriend?
No. That screams polite co-star.
Yeah.
That I've worked with on two movies.
That Perhaps screams like director friend. Of Spider-Man movie being like, please say this paragraph about how hard Tom Holland works.
Yeah. And I can't help but think about behind the scenes when obviously her team is talking about what she'll be asked in this profile. And they'll be like, they're obviously going to ask about Tom Holland. Here's what, like kind of giving her bullet points. It just feels like that. I don't know.
Yeah. Going from Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly to Zendaya calling her boyfriend dude and being like, the thing I love about him is that he makes me do more takes on the movie that we shot together.
You're so right.
Like that, yeah. I'm like, this,
you're so
this
right.
isn't real.
It's a tough transition. I know.
And also the like Entertainment Weekly cover of her and Timmy that came out this year.
I know.
I'm like, chemistry.
Right. Yeah. That's what we could. That was the PR relationship that we deserved.
Right.
As
Here's
a society.
What she said about Timothy Chalamet. Almost sells me more on those two, which I know are not a thing. She goes, Timothy is an extraordinary talent and just a lovely person. He's become my family. Like, just, I feel like in some way, that's just like a nicer, more personal comment about Timothy Chalamet than Tom Holland.
Well, like, he is my family versus he is a good chap.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's a perfectionist.
What?
That is so unromantic. Yeah. No, I thought she would be better at this, I have to say.
Closer to the date, she'll be ramping up the romance part.
Yeah,
and right now, she's still trying to keep people or her team. I don't know.
I guess. I don't know. I just, that Entertainment Weekly cover with her and Timmy, I was like, damn, we should have. Mm-hmm. This is the one. This is the relationship that I would have been like, I don't care what anyone says. This is real.
Yeah.
Other than Tom. But, you know, Tom's fine. I guess he's a perfectionist, so.
Yeah. I guess what's good, though, is that her talking about herself was more interesting and, you know, more of a focus than she didn't give a single crumb about Tom Holland. So that's, I suppose, good in some way. Okay, last profile we're going to talk about, Kaya.
This will be short. This wasn't, like, extremely interesting, but Kumail Nanjiani was profiled by E. Alex Jung in Vulture. And E. Alex Jung is just, like, an extremely talented profile writer.
Mm-hmm.
And so like anything he writes, you're just like, oh my God, what is the meaning of like celebrity? And it would mostly focus on Kumail's like, you know, his transformation. He got like extremely buff and ripped. Mm-hmm. And he kind of talked about like why he felt the need to do that, like the process for it. And basically the summation of it is that Kumail's like, I'm going to be in a Marvel movie. I want to be ripped. Like, I want to be in the best shape of my life. And it gets into, like, you know, the pressures that... I think it was interesting because we don't hear a lot about, like, the pressures men in particular face in terms of, like, body image in Hollywood. And so, like, that was interesting. And, yeah, I mean, he really goes for it. And, like, he was working out, like, every single day. I think he's still doing this. He talks a bit about, like, I only eat bread on Fridays and like I get, Fridays are my like cheat days. I just, you know, I hope that once Eternals comes out, he can chill out.
Eat pizza?
Yeah.
Remember, he was one of the ones we were talking about where like the Eternals promo started before the pandemic.
Yes.
And then he and like Sebastian Stan and like a couple other of these Marvel actors, like their projects kept getting pushed and pushed. So they kept having to like maintain this insane regimen,
right?
Like way longer than they necessarily would have, which I don't know. Maybe this is a lifestyle change for Camille and like he's going to, you know, maintain this if he wants to.
Particularly like thrilled about doing
it. I wouldn't be.
Like he is under an immense amount of pressure, both that he puts himself and that the public put on him for sure. And the meet, like the paparazzi media, everybody, it feels really stressful. That was my vibe from it. Yeah.
Yeah. He had to do this for like way, way longer than I think anyone probably planned. So I hope that there's a lot of carbs in his future.
And there was just so much scrutiny too that came along with him specifically and his body transformation, which is a lot. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's keep moving. Next category. Not worth the tea. This week in social media and relationship news. Kate, plug your ears. Sorry, we're starting with something fun. Kaya has called it Kardashian Corner. Take it away.
Corner with a K. So as everybody knows, Kim hosted SNL last Saturday. And I was like, all right, I should tune in for this. And I got through about half. I just like, I think I find SNL incredibly boring. I've realized.
You got through half?
I got through half and I was like, I just, I'll catch some other sketches on YouTube or something if I, if they surface to me on the algorithm. but I think it's like the main point of focus was like her monologue. And I thought she did a fine job. Like I feel like people were like really like, I think in general, really receptive and like, oh, wow, she did great. Mm-hmm. I think there was like low expectations going in.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so she did a fine job. And so she surpassed people's expectations, whether that's like fair to her or not. I felt like the monologue felt really scripted and like, okay, you literally employed like a team of comedy writers.
Well, that's I know what most monologues are, but she did give it no flip. She did just like recite the lines that were on the cue.
Yeah. And
table.
You could like really feel her like pause for laughs.
Yeah. Although she obviously can't act. Everyone knows that. She can't even dance, which she did do in SNL, which was like a departure. I don't know if you made it that far. Did you see her like club scene?
No, I did not make it that far. I'm sorry.
Okay. TBT, the one Prince kicked her off stage in 2011 for not dancing on stage. Yeah. Anybody remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Anyway, so there's this whole thing. Kim can't dance. She was dancing in the club. In this
one I did make it to the club scene. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, it's things like that where, she is a little bit robotic and that's fine. She just delivered funny lines, I guess. That's fine.
I thought my favorite was like the Bachelor sketch. I thought that was funny. I also thought it was fun that they got like so many different like cameos to of people to come in, like especially like Tyler Cameron and oh my God, I'm blanking on
Chris Crawford, Chris Rock. What's his name? Chase Crawford.
Chase Crawford, yes.
From Gossip Girl,
Girl / The Boys. Yeah. So I thought like that was good. I thought Kim did like a good job with that. She did fine. It was fine.
She boosted their ratings, which is like more than they could say. Wait, also, Kaya, did you get to Halsey's performances?
No, so that's where I turned it off because I just, I don't like the, I don't like the performances. I don't know why. I found them boring. Okay.
I don't know why I've never seen Halsey live. It just has never come across any of my pages ever. She is so good. Oh my God. If you're going to watch something from that episode, go back and watch the first or second, the second one she brings on Lindsay Buckingham. And it's like phenomenal. Nice. Really good. That would be my recommendation for that episode.
Yeah. I think, I mean, I'll go check it out on YouTube where I have decided I will forever see SNL sketches from now on.
That's the key. That's what I do. The last SNL episode I watched live was Harry Styles. And even then I was if I wasn't writing about this, like I would be watching these in the morning on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the only way.
Yeah.
All right. Next up on Kardashian Corner, Kylie did a photo shoot covered in blood. It's gory and gross looking. You know, people made the requisite period jokes. She did it.
Classic.
I didn't see that, Kaya.
Well, that was like page six. Page six's headline is literally Kylie Jenner's bloody photo shoot mocked as quote unquote heavy period.
Oh my God.
Page six.
Was it a Halloween theme?
Yeah. So she's doing a Nightmare on Elm Street Kylie Cosmetics collection. So she's been doing a lot of like spooky like promo. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, my main takeaway from this is like, she looks obviously great in the photo shoot. She's completely naked. So I'm like, how long did you do this before you got like pregnant? And then like, how long in advance do you have to like plan this stuff out, you know?
Yeah, I bet her life is so... She got all of this down to a
backlog of Chris content.
And I mean, the same thing with Kylie Swim, too, where she like modeled all of Kylie Swim, which also I hear is like absolutely terrible.
Yeah,
by the way. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, so Kai, you can cut it if I don't, but it just made me think of how Sean Fennessy backlogged all his Big Picture episodes before he went and had them.
The exact same.
Yeah, it's Kylie same. Jenner, Sean Fennessy, same strategy.
Same caliber.
Yeah. You know what's weird about this? Kind of, I know you follow the Kardashians a bit closer than Kay. I wonder if you feel the same way. I feel like Kylie has done so many photo shoots with every theme and color scheme and everything under the sun. Like, nothing is shocking or cool or new to me about what she does because it's so oversaturated. I've seen her in every type of makeup, hairstyle, costume, and it's just like, this, her covered in blood and naked. I was like, oh.
Yeah, no, right. I felt kind of the same. I was like, oh, yeah, they did that. Okay, great. Yeah.
There she is again.
Yeah. Lastly, in Kardashian Corner, you know I just have to rep North where I can because she's warping into like a sass monster and I just love her becoming like a self-aware, she's not even a preteen, but child. Mm-hmm. So Kim went on Ellen's like mom confession segment. I didn't know that that was a thing. Anyway, it's going viral now because Kim said this about North. Every time I get into some disagreement with my daughter, North, she thinks this is a dig to me and she'll say, your house is so ugly. It's all white. Who lives like this? She thinks it like gets to me and it is kind of mean because I like my house. I feel, we've always felt bad for these kids living in that home that looks like a weird museum. But the fact that this kid now is like, yeah, this sucks and this is ugly.
And she's right.
Also, it's like your home. You know, it's not like mine, it's like yours.
You know what, too? Because that is supposedly like her family home where she is supposed to feel the most, you know how you feel that about the place you grew up. You like, it represents comfort and it's like this, you love it no matter what. The fact that she even fucking hates it is so funny.
I just hope like she got to decorate her room how she wanted, but I feel like that is probably not the case.
Doubtful.
I think there's that room and then there's like a playroom that's like off to this, like in a different home that is like you can do whatever you want in here, but don't touch this part.
Absurd.
But yeah, I just love North and I can't wait to see where she goes. She's really way up. Okay, next. This is in social media, Kate.
Yes. Adele. Guys, she's coming back. Her song, actually, at the time of publish, will be out, her first pre-release.
Oh, my God.
I think it's called Easy on Me. And then her album is coming out mid-November. So it's all happening. And she went on Instagram to play a snippet of the song this week. And she just did not know what was happening. She was so confused by Instagram Live.
She was on there for a while, too, right?
Like a while. Yeah. Yes. And just kind of like vibing. She was answering questions. She talked about like the Free Britney movement. And she was like talking about her favorite movie, which is Titanic and Scarface and like all the stuff. But she was so confused by like people trying to join the stream. Like people that I don't quite understand. But she had all of these celebrities like commenting, being like, do you need help? And at one point, Alicia Keys commented and was like, do you need help, baby? And Adele was like, oh God, Alicia's here. Yes, I do need help. And I don't think she took her up on it. I think she just kind of just forged on.
She muscled
her own.
Through it. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was so funny because like you could only see the comments from like famous people or like verified people on Instagram. So it was like all these celebrities that were just like randomly watching Adele on Instagram Live. Just wild, wild stuff. But I'm thrilled that she's back. I missed her.
She's so charming. So fucking funny. Someone asked her what her body count was because she was like trying to read as she was going. She basically, you know, celebrities, they just stare at the screen as like all the ones to comment. She goes, she didn't know what that was and just like blew right past it.
Right.
It was just really good.
She was like, body count, what's that? And then she just kept going. I was like, I love her.
I remember when someone asked her what the album was about and she goes, divorce, babe, divorce.
Divorce.
That was my shitty ass British accent.
I missed her. I missed her so much.
So much.
Also, this isn't in social media. This is not worth the tea. Our girl Vanessa Hudgens, who, by the way, is featured alongside Andrew Garfield in Lin-Manuel Miranda's upcoming musical for Netflix. Real big get for Vanessa.
Huge.
Not a Christmas movie. Shocking stuff. Anyway, she's also making big moves in the water industry. She told Shape magazine that she dislikes water so much that she has passed out from dehydration multiple times, which like
wild.
Listen, you pass out once.
Yes.
You better be drinking water.
Why does like, that happen I don't, more than once?
That can't happen more than once.
Yes. And
she's 32 years old. Kaya and I were talking about this before we started recording. Like, you're an adult. You drink water.
Get over
you
it.
Know, like it's the one thing that we as humans need to survive. Like, I don't know what to tell you. It's being like, you know, I hate air. Like, I don't know what and you just, have to drink water.
Like, you're so thirsty when you're like I can go maybe 30 minutes without drinking water before I start to get like, oh god, like I need to have a glass of water like right now, my mouth is so dry.
Or it's insane.
I just,
anyway,
okay, fine, keep going.
The point of this is that she is fixing this because she has created cactus water called Cali water, and it comes from the pink plant attached to the top of the cactus. It's supposed to be similar to like coconut water, but it's made from a cactus. Okay. And it's just flavored water, basically. And I'm like, Vanessa, that already exists.
Yeah.
And you could have just drank, like Kaya suggested earlier, Crystal Light. Like, I don't
get a little, every one single, of those little Mio pouches or something.
Right. It's just wild to me to be like, I hate water so much that I'm starting my own cactus water brand because like,
yeah.
Otherwise I will pass out because there are no other options.
Also, I will die.
I've tried all the waters. I've tried aloe water, cactus mm-hmm. water, coconut water, all the shit that people, and it's not coconut water, but aloe and cactus water taste close enough to water where it's like, this is what, like, what? It just doesn't
just
make any
sense.
Just
drink water. It's yeah. just wild to me. But, you know, I wish her the best with her newest business venture.
We should get Amelia on the case. Get
I know.
We need a full beverage report.
Beverage queen. Yeah.
Okay, lastly, this I am going to talk about, but I'm curious, Kate, for your thoughts, because obviously you're the designated Timothy stan. But we got the first glimpse of Timothy Chalamet as Willy Wonka in kind of an odd way. Didn't expect this. And I actually had to catch up on this because Vulture profiled the person that leaked said photos. Okay. So you guys know they're filming the Wonka prequel musical. It's apparently his gritty origin story.
For some reason.
Great.
We're doing this.
So they're currently filming in Lyme Regis, which is in the southwest of England. Apparently, very sleepy town. Nothing happens there, which is why this person, Art Doherty, who's at Arts, lives there, suddenly like caught on. And obviously the people in the town know that something was happening. Caught on to this filming, has snapped a photo and now become basically just like a live feed of like Timothy updates as they're filming this Wonka movie. And it's obviously blown up, and Vulture actually profiled this person. It's actually a lovely, entertaining profile written by Zoe Haylock. So read that. Kate, do you want to talk about your feelings about these photos as a fan?
So they first released like an official photo,
right?
Like the first of like Timmy in the hat. Listen, he looks great. The cheekbones are just coming right off the screen. He's working the hat. He's working his like fall jewel tones. Love it. However, you know, it's just like, it's one of those things where like, he just can't win now. Like there's just, nobody wants this.
No. This has been mocked
nobody
from
asked
the start.
For this.
Like,
right.
And it will so, be like, mocked forever.
Yes. There's literally no coming back from this. I'm like, you are doing Dune right now. Like you were in the Oscar conversation like the last couple of years. Like why? They must have just absolutely dropped the bag. However, I will say, I love that like this is such a good year for people in small British villages like doing their due diligence. Remember the Pete Davidson and Phoebe Dynevor girl that was like out on the town telling everyone like every single detail? I'm just saying like if you live in a sleepy, quaint English village, like keep your eyes peeled because
absolutely.
You never know what you're going to see. And the people need to hear what's going on.
Yeah.
So I appreciate the dedicated reporters who live in these towns.
Right. They were saying it's really fun to see him lean into his theater kid roots again because, you know, he's skipping around with his hat and his cane, his little cane, they call it. But yeah, I don't know. Are you going to watch this, Kate, eventually when it comes out?
I have zero doubt that if I'm still at the Ringer, they're going to make me write something about it. So
okay, fine.
I will have to see it, I'm sure.
Okay, great.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem. Sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey, I have a secret.
Uh-huh.
I use Secret Whole Body Deodorant because more than just my armpits stink.
Oh, can I use it where my bra rubs under my...
Oh, yeah.
And what about down there? You know, my...
Totally. 4 out of 5 gynecologists would recommend it. So I tried it, and now I get 72 hours of freshness from my pits to my...
Ooh, I love that it's a spray.
Me too. And it comes in sticks and creams too. Go get your Secret Whole Body Deodorant.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Okay, let's do cringe mode. We're keeping with the spooky Halloween themes. Less scary this time. Actually, kind of scary, I will say.
Not scary.
We're doing Hocus Pocus 1993. A children's classic? What would you...
This is a children's movie. The guy, okay. The kid says sucks, and his dad says do not say sucks.
True. Okay. That's a good sign.
Got it. Kate... You know, it's the time. Do it.
Yeah. So we start out, we're in Salem during the witch trials, and the three Sanderson sisters, played by Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker, and a third person whose
Kathy
name...
Kathy Najimy.
Kathy Najimy, apologies to her, is the third sister. They are witches, and they're trying to gain eternal life by sucking the life force out of a little girl. Her brother, Thackeray Binks, tries to come to her rescue. They turn him into a cat. However... He has alerted the villagers to their plan. So the villagers hang them. They're dead for 300 years until they're awakened by a just dumbass boy from LA trying to impress a girl in Salem in like, you know, the 90s. And basically the boy and the girl and their little sister, his little sister, have to defeat the witches that they have accidentally awakened with the help of Thackeray the cat.
Good.
Yeah.
That's good. That's about it. Nice. So yeah, we toggle between 1693 and then we fast forward to 1993. Okay. Yeah. Let's do the highlights, Kate.
We love a fall setting. It has been like cool 80s here in LA. Yeah. It does not feel like fall. And so again, I just love this time of year.
Night.
It is. Nights are cold. Yeah, actually, my apartment is not equipped for that. But during the day, you know, sun's out. It doesn't feel like fall. And I just love watching these like fall movies. It's set in Salem. I actually have a friend that just went to Salem.
Oh, wow.
And I've been going through all of her Instagram stories being like, oh, my God, it looks so cool there. And like the fall and amazing. So then I watched this movie and I was like, wow, it does look amazing in Salem. Mm-hmm. I would love to spend Halloween time there. Mm-hmm. So, I just love it. Other than, you know, the witches trying to kill you. But. Other than that, it looks great.
This movie did really get me into like a Halloween mood. I'm like, oh,
yes. 100%. And the coats and the skirt and tights. Mm-hmm. It's like a whole, it's a great fall movie.
Another highlight is that I love when the little kid in a movie is like the smart one and not the annoying one. Mm-hmm. Too often, the little sister or little brother is just like so annoying and you just have to like get past them in the movie. However, in this movie, Danny is like the brains of the operation. She is quick on her feet. She's the one who's like, idiot older brother, like, stop doing what you're doing. And I just love when like you can root for the little sister instead of being like, oh my God, you're so annoying.
We don't get that a lot in cringe mode.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice change of pace.
She's really cute.
Yeah. Very cute.
There's also just a lot of good classic tropes in this movie, primarily just like the 90s kind of like family movie. First, you got the home that these two kids live in, filled with wood and upholstery and just like heavy curtains. And it's just like, oh, it makes me feel like so warm and cozy. Like this is my home and it's that I grew up in and it's so nice. Then you have like the dopey, disgruntled parents who like just don't get it and like are clueless and the kids have to figure it out for themselves. Classic.
Yes, always good.
You have the angsty teen big brother with the like annoying little sister.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then you have the like dumb and dumber villains, which I actually applies to four different characters in this movie because you have the one set of villains, which are like the local teenage high school bullies that kind of beat up on the one kid that actually a through line of the story is that he's a virgin because he likes candle
several
magic.
Times, yeah.
Important plot point, yeah.
Sparks the witches.
Maybe this isn't
back
a children's
life.
Movie.
But then you also have the dumb and dumber villain of the two other witches. Bette Midler is definitely the brains of the operation.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then Sarah Sanders and Mary Sanders, like her two sisters, are definitely just like loose cannons. And don't
yeah,
do much.
Literally Sarah Jessica Parker's character, like her character is just like, I'm horny for everything that crosses my path.
Also, which I wasn't going to mention this, but like most of the things that cross her path are like underage boys.
Yeah.
Like, can we not, can you not be like, oh, these are children. And then also be like, I want the boy. I'm like, okay, can we draw a line here?
Eat that or suck? There's some
sexual undertones going on in my opinion.
Yeah. And I'm like, it would have been okay if like they,
it's entertaining.
Right. It's a, we can cross over as we discuss into low lights.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was questionable at times. I was like, what's the vibe here?
Yeah.
It's unclear. Yeah.
Okay. Low lights.
My first low light is that the beginning of this movie is low key super dark.
Yeah.
I thought this was like really a children's movie. And I guess we can't decide yet if it is or isn't. Like, I really thought this was like for literal children. And then at the beginning, they're trying to kill this little girl, suck her life force, and then they get hanged. And you like kind of, there's like some noises when they get hanged. And I was like, whoa. Yeah. So that was dark. And
it's
I was like,
spooky.
Maybe this is, I guess it's like definitely a family film.
Yeah, you know, like now that you're talking about it, the like beginning plot kind of reminds me of this like really terrifying Anya Taylor-Joy movie I watched called The Witch.
The Vivitch, yeah.
Yeah. And it's like where they like steal, their witches steal young children. And
the concept is terrifying.
Yeah.
They like kind of go dementor and like suck in it. Like you are back out of it and you're like, okay, this isn't scary. But the concept overall, luring the children, like is very scary.
Yeah.
Also, so in the beginning, as Kate mentioned, the brother, the original brother, Thackeray Binks, tries to save his sister. He fails and then he gets cursed and turned into a cat, which going from a young teen in 1693 to then a cat feels like maybe worst case scenario of all the animals or things you could be turned into. We could talk, I guess we're in the low light section, but doesn't come in handy a whole lot being a cat throughout this movie. Would you agree?
Yeah, no.
I can think of way worse animals. He could have been a worm. He could have been a frog. He could have been a snake.
That's
could have been
true.
A newt.
That's not
that's
yeah,
true.
Actually,
but,
I guess that's true.
A black cat, like around Halloween time, historically, black cats get like killed during. Sorry, not to like take a dark turn on this podcast.
They do?
Yeah.
Yeah, because people get scared of them.
People think they're bad luck.
Oh, gee.
And, like,
I have
a
black
omen.
Cat.
People don't like to adopt black cats these days because they're not Instagram friendly and they're hard to take pictures of. Do you know that?
What?
Mm-hmm. My sister has a black cat.
I have a black cat and his name is Jinx, actually. It's perfect for Halloween.
Oh my gosh.
He's kind of a pain in my ass. No, he's like my family cat. He's a pain. All right. Anyway, okay, so back to Hocus Pocus. Anyway, Kate, what's the next lowlight?
Speaking of Thackeray, his accent is so bad.
Oh,
it's so funny.
Terrible.
So first he's like in this, 1693 village, and he has like just the worst British accent I've ever heard. Cause I guess that's how Americans talked back then, because they hadn't, become American. Yet really. So he like has like, oh, Emily. But then it's like every other word is like American. And then when he becomes a cat, he like talks to them sometimes in like an American voice. Like he'd be like, come on, you moron, or like, hey, you dope. And then other times he would be like, we must defeat the witches. And it's like this. I was like, what is happening?
Also, sorry, so but as you're talking about his language skills, how was he when originally turned into a guy? He was like, meow, meow, trying to tell all the other 17th century villagers that these were witches, that his sister is gone, etc. And then he pops up 300 years later, he's like, oh, where have I been? I've been...
it's a great point. It is.
How did that happen?
There's just a lot going on with Thackeray that just begs so many questions. Yeah. Yeah, bad at his job though. Not good. Not a good cat guardian.
Also, no, like he gets also fucking tossed around. Sorry. Okay.
Sorry. It's like ran over by a bus.
Also, you remember when the witch just like kind of throw like a light shoot thing at him and he, like a lightning bolt and he just like literally like twirls in the air away.
Tough movie for Thackeray.
Anyway, speaking of accent, the witch's accent like is a little grating. An hour in, I'm just like, oh my god, please stop talking like this.
Yeah, that's fair. It's a lot of over enunciation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They went to too many accent classes and Thackeray did not go to enough. Okay. So we were talking about the parents and how they're like very clueless or whatever. There are several scenes of like parents at Halloween parties in this movie. And they're all like really drunk and like they're like kind of, you know, disturbed to come upon their mom dressed like, I don't know, was it Madonna? Is she like I Dream a Genie? Yeah. And it just made me think that, like, people, whenever parents go to Halloween parties, it's just like no one's comfortable with that. Like, it makes me.
This pisses me off so much. You have in this outline, people should be banned from dressing up for Halloween after the age of 30.
That's how I feel. Like,
you are such a killjoy. Oh my God.
You have like the kid years where like you're trick or treating. That's great. You can go like through high school, like into college. You can do your 20s, like sexy Halloween time parties. Like that's fine. But like age 30, like if you have kids, that's it for Halloween. Like I don't, you just should be done. I think it's embarrassing for everyone.
To take your kids trick or treating. Is that okay with you?
That's okay. If it's in conjunction with the kids and it's like a kid's activity, that's fine.
Kate,
if you're going
so
to like
fun and joy and whimsy after a certain point.
I think it's just embarrassing for everyone involved. If your parents are at a Halloween party with other parents, it's just like, no.
Yeah.
Don't.
Hmm.
Think about it. Think about it and get back to me.
I actually hate you for that comment. Couldn't disagree more. But I'm like, swiftly move on.
All right.
This is also, I think, a thing, you know, Scream actually plays on this. A lot of horror movies do it where it's like, why would you voluntarily go into somewhere spooky that is like shut down because it's haunted, closed because everything is cursed in there? Like,
yeah,
these people walk into the belly of the beast and he also lights a candle. Like, I just, why would you do that on Halloween?
That stuff.
You know that it's bad news. Actually, the kid sister was like, please don't. That's so scary. And she almost dies. So that's. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah, I would just never go into somewhere spooky at night that's been shut down because of ghosts.
Yeah.
It's a terrible idea.
I'm a wimp. Yeah. Like, I don't want to do that.
Me neither. I guess we'll talk about ghosts in a bit. And then last low light. Sorry, there was a lot.
The main character, the kid brother, he's just kind of a buzzkill. Like, he kind of sucks.
He's the worst.
Like, he literally starts out, I'm from California. I hate Halloween. It's like, what are you talking about? It's like lame.
Yeah, he really is awful. And he is, all of this is his fault. Horrible character.
He helps save people at the end. But yeah, he is a buzzkill.
He does sacrifice himself at the end for his sister.
Yes,
so like, I guess that like rights the wrongs, but he's just kind of lame throughout.
Yeah, he is.
And it could have been avoided like if you'd listened to your sister in the first place. So like,
yeah.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. No points.
Let's do what has aged the best and the worst. This is a bit all over the place. So Kate, start us off.
I'm sorry. They enter this like fancy Halloween party thrown by Allison. Is Allison the love interest? Mm-hmm. Her parents. Mm-hmm. And they rush in. First of all, they walk right into this person's house, which I'm like, don't do that.
It's
on
the
90s, Halloween.
Kate.
Yeah, it's true. And they walk in and see this bowl of candy and they go, jackpot. And they like dig their hands into the candy and like let it fall like gold coins. But literally it's a bowl of Raisinets. And it's like no one has ever reacted this way to Raisinets. Like you walk into a hall, you see a bowl of Raisinets, like you walk right back out. So that was just absurd to me.
As a fan of Raisinets, that's about the last thing I want to see on Halloween. There's so many other good
options
out there.
That's trash. Get it out of my face. Yeah, no.
what has aged the worst as well.
This is the worst.
Is the animatronic cat that is Thackeray is literally the worst thing I've ever seen.
Like, I know we were CGI. Like, I don't even know what's happening.
It's a cat that they put an animated face onto. Does that make sense?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Okay. So it is like a robot mechanical cat, and it's so awkward to watch. I hate every scene where they like show Thackeray talking.
He like moves
it's like,
his face around like a lot.
And I know we weren't working with much in 1993, but we were working with more than that. I feel
There's a moment. So there's a moment where the kid, the main character, what's his name?
Max
and his sister enter the Allison's house, and his little sister is like, yeah, he really likes your yabas. Is that what she says?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like boobs?
Yeah.
Like, I've never heard boobs called yabas before. And I like Googled this and I could not find anything on the internet about this. Like,
if the internet doesn't have it, that means that,
I don't know. Yeah. Like, not
it
even
really doesn't exist.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, wow. That's really Maybe weird. We spelled it wrong. I'll experiment with some spelling. Okay. And report back.
Thank you. And then age well is the 90s fashion. Like the 90s absolutely. Fall fashion, like the thick, chunky sweaters, the like straight leg acid wash jeans. Mm-hmm, great stuff. Mm-hmm. And inspired my own closet.
Yeah. Love there's it. Also time to course correct some of this stuff if Thackeray chooses to come back. They're filming Hocus Pocus 2 right now. Sarah Jessica Parker is back on. I'm sure Bette Midler. Also, as a weird random trivia, did you know Jennifer Lopez auditioned for just Sarah Jessica Parker's role? Could you imagine J-Lo in that role?
She would have been good, I feel like.
Oh my gosh.
I would have liked to see her be silly and like fun and whimsical.
Also, what has aged the worst is that this aired in July, we found out this morning.
Oh, yeah.
That's ridiculous.
That? Like, why would you do that, Disney?
Absurd.
Yeah, who knows? Let's do the MVP, Kate.
All the sisters are just having the times of their lives in this movie. They are just hamming it up, having a great time. But it's got to be Bette Midler. I mean, she, what really puts it over the edge is the musical number that I Put a Spell on You.
Yeah.
Like, she was made for that. Come on.
And wearing fake teeth, too.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm giving it to Sarah Jessica Parker because I've seen a good amount of her roles, obviously not everything, but this is the silliest and most theatrical I've ever seen this woman. And I love it. She's very over the top. And I also love her like raspy cackle, which she only does sometimes in Sex and the City, like really funny scenes. And it's kind of all the time in this movie. So giving it to her.
I love her. I'm going to go Bette Midler for, and she just like carries the weight. I feel like of all the sisters, like does the most work. Does the musical number and wears the fake teeth that look really uncomfortable for the entire movie. So,
yes, agreed. Definitely.
All right, lightning round, real quick. I did the top two. So, if a witch was going to put a spell on you and turned you into an animal, what would it be?
So, I thought it was like, what would your soul be if it was being turned into an animal? I thought this was like a realistic question. Obviously, I've done too much reading of Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly today. So, I did say a cat because I was like, I don't know. I'd like to be alone.
If like, I was wondering what your explanation was.
Is this like what I would want to be turned into if a cat?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, also a cat. Like, they're pretty spoiled.
Yeah.
And like you can just like escape to the streets and just switch families if you want, you know?
Okay. So if a witch were to put a spell on you and you turned into Betsy, you would be happy with that?
Yeah.
That's nice.
I take great care of Betsy.
Betsy lives a great life.
Yeah.
Okay, Kylie, what's your answer?
I said a golden retriever so I can get adopted into a nice upper middle class family.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I guess it's hard to answer this one because at first I was like, oh, a cat is so useless. Thackeray was absolutely useless in this movie. But a golden retriever would perhaps do even less because like they can't
That's fine.
Jump. Like, so I don't
I'm not
I
trying
don't
to be helpful. I'm just trying to relax. Okay.
You're not trying to save the town.
No.
Children
what do you
of Salem?
Think is what do you think is most helpful, Liz?
I don't know. Maybe like a large spider or something. Like a large poisonous spider.
Like a bird or something maybe. Like a parrot.
Bird. Oh, like a hawk. Well, not a parrot. Yeah.
I was thinking like a parrot. If you were a parrot, you could talk, but then Thackeray the cat.
Well, Thackeray
anyway,
already talked. So
that's
non-issue.
Already solved.
Okay. This will surprise no one, the answers to this question. Do you believe in ghosts, Kate?
No.
Ugh, of course you
don't. Come on, Kate. Yes, I believe in ghosts.
Watch. I'm going to be a ghost and haunt you, and then you're going to believe in them. I believe in them 100%. We should fear them and respect Liz, that they're space.
Liz actually put 100,000% she believes in ghosts.
And she's I believe them a bit too much. Okay. Wow. Lastly, whoever.
This was mine. Did you get any Halloween costume and or fall outfit inspo for this movie?
This is a great question. My only thing was that I thought it was really funny that one of the witches used a vacuum cleaner instead of a broom, like in modern day times. And I do think it's a good bit to like be a witch with a vacuum cleaner for Halloween.
That's
but
cute,
it
actually.
Would be a lot to carry around. So
yeah.
Maybe not.
If you're going to like a house party or you were hosting, that'd be great. You just kind of roll it around.
Stick it in the corner when you get tired of it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I like the deep autumnal jewel tones of these witches. And then also at the very end, I was like, holy shit, I do have a black cat at home. I could be, he could be Thackeray Binks and I could be someone. Not sure who would be Bette Midler.
Allison.
I can go head to head. Duke it out.
I feel like the girls on TikTok, they're like all into like corset tops right now.
Yes,
they really
they
would have like loved Sarah Jessica Parker's like corset with the mesh sleeves.
She's, if you're going to do it and be like hot girl Halloween, she is like the most visually pleasing, the costume and makeup and everything.
Right.
So last category, we're doing Tea Time's unanswerable questions. Kaya, start
us
off.
Why won't Ridley Scott let Ben Affleck and Matt Damon kiss?
This is such a me question. I can't believe you took this from me. I love it though.
I'm gonna punt to you in a second because I think you have seen The Last Duel at this point, right, Kate?
I'm seeing it tonight.
Great.
I can't
wait. Oh my God.
Although
exciting.
Now I know that they don't kiss. So why would I go?
There's a scene in which I think like Matt Damon has to like show weakness to Ben Affleck or something. And it would have been like more historically accurate if Matt Damon had kissed Ben Affleck in order to like show respect to him. But Ridley Scott was like, this is going to be too distracting, which fair. And he had Matt Damon kneel for Ben Affleck instead. But like lame.
Wow.
I don't know.
If you're going to do it right, Ridley Scott. Like, I don't know what you're afraid of.
Accurate.
Also, like, the movie where Ben Affleck and Matt Damon kiss, like, that is a simple sell.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, they've been working up to this through their whole careers. It seems like the natural evolution of their bromance.
If not now, when? You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Damn.
So good question.
Well, now I know. Now I know not to look forward to that tonight when I see the movie. And I will be disappointed by that when I see it. All right. My unanswerable question is Taylor Swift's boring boyfriend Joe Alwyn super hot now? I have made fun of Joe Alwyn for several years now. I think he's the most boring person alive. However, he is starring in Conversations with Friends. I do follow him on Instagram because I like to make fun of his drawings. he's really bad at drawing and he posts them a lot. But he posted some pictures from the set of Conversation with Friends. And one of them just took me by surprise. I sent it to the whole Tea Time group chat. I thought he was giving off like Hemsworth energy. He's like very buff. He's got some hairy chest going on. He's definitely got like longer hair, a beard. I was like, whoa, who is this man? I'm in.
He did bulk up quite a bit.
He did. So I'm just horrified by the fact that I've been making fun of Joe Alwyn for literal years, saying he's not good enough for Taylor Swift. I mean, Carly Kloss isn't either, but, you know, just like levels here.
Have you guys read Conversation with Friends?
I haven't. It's on my list.
So, so basically, Joe Alwyn is playing the part. He is supposed to be in the show, this like really hot and toned actor guy who's like they over and over again in the book, they talk about how attractive this guy is and like what great physical shape he's in.
Oh.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Hmm. So he's in his Hemsworth era, obviously.
He might be. And I mean, he can only hope that Conversations with Friends does for him what Normal People did for Paul Mescal.
Yeah, 100%.
And then Taylor Swift will win in the end, as she always does.
She really does.
Never in doubt.
She saw something that we didn't see and now it's paying off. Good for her. Honestly, good for her.
I love when you have to eat your words like this.
Yeah, I know.
For Joe Alwyn. I support
Very
you, Joe.
Very tough.
lastly, this is just saving the weirdest and silliest for last because it's not even coming up soon. But Betty White was trending on Twitter this week because she's turning 103 months. So everyone's obviously very worried about her well-being. And they're like, we got to make it to Betty White 100. Like, give her national security, keep her in bubble wrap. Like, just preserve her for the next 3 months until January 17th. She was born in 1922. It's going to be amazing. I don't know what she'll do, especially with this pandemic. You know, I don't know that she'll have a big blowout 100. I don't know where she's at. I haven't seen her in recently.
Yeah.
What would you guys do for your 100th birthday if you were Betty White? So you got the money, you have the resources, you have beloved people all around the world. What would you do?
I'm kind of torn between two options because on like the one hand, I'd be like, I don't want to do anything. I'm 100 years old. I'm fragile. I need to like wrap, as many people are saying right now, like wrap her in bubble wrap. I need to wrap myself in bubble wrap to protect myself. Yeah. But then on the other hand, it's like, yeah, I made it. I'm 100 years old. It's not going to get much better after this. Let's just like go all out and like have a big blow up bash that like might kill me, but also might be awesome.
Uh-huh. I think that's that would go smart. Big blowout bash as well. I mean, 100, also being Betty White.
Yeah. Right. So many people are so stoked for you right now.
So true. Here's my thinking. I will turn 100 in 2095. So like we should be well settled onto Elon Musk's Mars colony by then. So
not me, baby. Not going to space. Remember?
I'm going to Grimes' Venus colony, actually.
Totally. Yeah. I think that my 100th birthday, like I'll take my flying car for a spin around, Saturn's rings. Mm-hmm. Like maybe have brunch with like our alien friends and tell my grandchildren about, you know, the waterlogged planet that was Earth.
Other than that, no other plans. In this episode, it's crazy. Crazy.
Sorry.
I think if when we get to January 17th, 2022, we should watch The Proposal. I don't know if it's cringy for cringe mode, but it's a Betty White freaking classic.
I was like, where is she going with this? How does this relate to Mars?
it does, and I'm steering away from your
I actually really Mars like planet. The Proposal, and Betty White is really fun in that movie. We should watch it.
The Proposal. Okay, love so it. Okay. Thank you so much, Kaya, for not only filling in as a co-host and now has to edit this podcast. She's our live
producer. I have to edit my own voice. It's harrowing.
Oh my gosh.
Oh God. I couldn't. Godspeed. All right. Godspeed. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Alwell.
And I'm Kaya McMullen.